this morning, for Palm Sunday, we've all just waved our palms. One of the things that was shouted was, "Blessed is the King who comes." The King. Ooh. What do we think of kings? Do we think kings are good or bad or a bit of a mix in the middle? Bit of a mix in the middle. So throughout history, kings and queens have been a bit of a mix in the middle. Just remembered I've got the clicker, the magical object in my pocket. It's a good day. So, kings and queens have been a bit different. Now, going back years and years and years, we have the Israelites. And they don't have a king or a queen.
Toby, no running, please, baby. You can be a king. Sometimes they run off too, though, so you might be doing a good job, method acting.
So, the Israelites, they didn't have a king or a queen. And do you know what they did? They looked over there, and they looked over there at the back, and they looked over there, and they thought, oh, they've all got kings and queens. Can you be quite majestic kings and queens? You put crowns on your head. You're quite fancy kings and queens. They saw power and majesty and splendor and riches and wealth and gold and big armies. And do you know what they thought? They thought, we want one of those. We can do that a lot in life, can't we? We can look over at something else, at how good it looks, and not see the bad or the oppression or the things that aren't going very wrong. They didn't see that these people were human. They didn't see that they caused fear sometimes in people. And we got some kings. So, first king. King Saul, who would like to be our first king? You can go second because you was running around. Who would like to be our first king or queen? So, I crown you King Saul. Everyone, round of applause for King Saul. Well done, King Saul. And King Saul... So you're the first king ever of Israel. Oh my goodness. And you know what? You were actually really good at being humble when you first became king. So this is the first king the Israelites have begged and begged and begged God that they would really like a king. They really want one. They look like a good idea. They don't just want God leading them. They want this big, fancy splendor and majesty. They want to be a kingdom. And at first, King Saul was quite humble, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he stopped being so humble. Oh, what's that? Ah, oh, so my slide's gone wrong. Oh no, what's that doing there? Cheeky, okay, you've got to tell me if it comes up again, okay? So, ah, oh, King Saul. We have a boo.
Boo.
Saul, you've become prideful and you've said a big no to God. Can you say a big no?
No.
Well, that was a good no. See, look, my king's already deciding to just get undressed up here. That's great. Church and ministry. You have got a hole in your top, haven't you? Oh, dear. So he was prideful and deliberately disobeyed God. And you know what God did? He said, nope. And off came the crown from King Saul's head. Next, who have we got? King David. Who would like to be King David? Would you like to be King David? Can you come up the front and can you keep your top on? That would be great. So, I knight you, King David. Whoa. So he was called a man after God's own heart. He waited in the desert, and in the wilderness for years, being a shepherd. He was an amazing man. It looked like, after King Saul, oh, they might get the king they really hoped for. A really good person who was after God's own heart, who'd give them majesty and would give them splendor. Okay, this looks like it's going well. He also was a mighty warrior who, when Saul was king, led big battles and armies. And one of the things they did when he came home was that they would wave palm flags to show the victory, the big palm leaves like we've just done. Oh, Toby. You've stolen your friend's wife and then had him killed. Oh, no. Oh! Oh, no! What was that? For some reason, we're talking about kings and donkeys just keep popping up. That's not the same thing, is it? We're talking about majesty and gold and wealth and power and armies. And silly donkeys keep popping up. No. Yeah. Who would like to be our King Solomon? Would you like to be our King Solomon? I crown you King Solomon. And King Solomon, you're David's son. And you ask for something really, really good when you become king. You ask for wisdom. And I think that's a good thing for all of us to ask for, isn't it? That we can be wise making decisions. So I think he sounded like he wanted to be quite a good king and really great wealth. Okay, this is going well. You built a really famous temple in Jerusalem called Solomon's Temple. Okay, so we've got a bit of the majesty and the royalty going on. Some big impressive things and big power. That's really good. Oh no. I'm afraid you've had hundreds, yes, hundreds of wives and concubines. How do you remember all their birthdays? Oh my goodness. The amount of flowers that he must have had to buy. Oh no, and when they've started worshipping different pagan gods, you followed them to every different direction, every different god, and added them onto your own. Oh no. Oh no. So I'm afraid this crown isn't for you either. Oh no. And in fact, this went on. And not only did the kingdom have lots of bad kings and one very bad queen, it split off even into two kingdoms. So they had a king of the Israelites and a king of Judah. So they couldn't even get along with who they were going to follow. Oh my goodness, some of them were good, but mostly they were very aggressive and violent. Can you show me your most aggressive, grumpy faces? Oh no, everybody, are we a bit scared of these kings and queens now? So we were hoping for some majesty and some splendor and some gold and some wealth. And we had a bit of a paddy at God, and we got our way, and we got some kings and a queen. It's not gone very well, has it? It's not gone very well.
Another kingdom.
Another one? What do they keep doing? Why does my donkey keep showing up? So a donkey that's blind. Oh yeah, it looks a bit like it's got its eyes closed. So the donkey. So this doesn't fit any of the ideas of the images of the king, does it? What do you think of when you think of a king? What do you think of? I think of big palaces and lots of food. I kind of think of King Henry VIII first, probably. And we've got our own king, haven't we? But this was a king that came riding on a donkey. Now, donkeys are actually really cool. I was expecting that to be something got laughs. Donkeys are actually really cool. I'd like you to just think for a minute, though, if you can think of any famous donkeys or any times that donkeys have been in films. Seeing one, Shrek.
Jesus arrived.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. So Donkey in Shrek is a bit silly, isn't he? He doesn't even have a proper name. He's just called Donkey. He's a bit silly. He's the butt of a lot of jokes. And then in Shakespeare, we've got Nick Bottom, who's a bit of a comedy character who has his head turned into a donkey. Oh, they don't get a very good rap. But actually, donkeys, in these times that these Gospels are being written, they were known as being really strong. Compared to their body size, they could carry more than horses. They were known to be really hardworking. They helped with the food, so they'd help plough the land. And do you know what? Kings were actually known to arrive on donkeys. If they were arriving to a big kingdom with big walls, they would arrive to show that they weren't going as an act of war. They were going as a sign of peace. So they're actually quite an interesting animal to think of. So we've had all this thinking of kings. And we've got lots of big, scary kings and queens, haven't we? That are a bit frightening. But then, right back at the beginning about the kings, when people were still in exile, we have this amazing bit of scripture. This is 500 years before the passage that we've read today. So, you know, we heard about Jesus arriving on a donkey and he is the king above all kings. So we've had these terrible kings and now we have the king above all kings who is human and God. But this is a bit of a prophecy that was written 500 years before that even happened. And it says this, I'm going to try to do this in a big voice. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious. Lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Whoa, that does not give the image of majesty and power, but someone coming on a donkey. We've got these palms, and I'd love it if my helpers up here could go and give out some of these palm crosses because we'll be using them in our prayers later. Is that okay? That'd be such a help. These palms are really interesting because when people would return back from wars, they would take the palm leaves off the tree, just like we've done, and wave them as victories. And the interesting thing about this is, Jesus hasn't specifically returned from a physical war, has he? He's not coming back saying, oh, there's this many people I've defeated, this many people I've come across. Can you hand them out? Okay. Thank you so much. He's coming almost before the spiritual battle has happened of him defeating death. And yet we have this amazing thing of the palms being waved. So in John, because different gospels have different ways they point to things, it says that the people who heard Jesus were coming to Jerusalem took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So John was kind of pointing to the victory of the people. Hopefully Tom will get victory with Toby in a minute. And he was making a real point that Jesus was going to conquer something powerful. That Jesus was coming in victory because Jesus was coming in peace. So you should all have a palm now. There's some more up here if you want to come and get some more. The incredible thing about this is we then look ahead to Revelation, and this is talking about the end times in the Bible. Thank you so much. Do you want to share some of those? And it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. So at the end of days, when the victory's been won, when we're all with God for eternity, without tears, without sadness, all joined together again with our loved ones, there we will be holding palm branches in our hand, waving victory over eternity. I'd like you to have a think about how you can wave your palms. And I keep accidentally saying psalms or palms. It's a difficult bit to say. But I want you to have a think about how you can wave your palms in life. Because these shout victory. How can you make changes in your life so that your true belief that Jesus has conquered all the bad in the world, how can you live so that shows and is visible in your life? To those you love, to those you love that don't know Jesus, to those who haven't heard about him yet, what are some ways you can show real victory and joy? It can be praying through difficult times. Doesn't mean not being sad, not being vulnerable. But how can we visibly show that Jesus is that victory? Now, in our Luke one today, it doesn't actually talk about the palms. And that's because for Luke, his thing was really about people. He was really interested in people that were living in poverty. And it's actually about their cloaks. And their cloaks are interesting because we can think of it like our coat, can't we? But this is something that was big, went on the outside. They would have taken really good care of these. They would have repaired them when they broke, which is always a good thing to do with clothes. They might have passed them down, passed them between family members. But it says they brought their cloaks and they put the cloaks on the colt. This is a young male donkey. And they put their cloaks on the road. And I think of this as a bit of a red carpet. Not only were these cloaks keeping them warm, but in days where they travelled between long places to markets or to get food, these cloaks were actually things they slept in. Things that provided them space and safety from the outside. So these were actually a real symbol of security. And the fact that they're willing to get these dusty, dirty, trodden on by Jesus shows how much Jesus is their security and everything they need. They don't need this cloak that's on them when they've got Jesus here with them. So again, what might we need to put down? What might we be completely holding on to as a security and as a control? What might we be looking to give us our stability when actually Jesus is the one true stability? He's the one that people put their cloaks in front of, or even on this donkey. And finally, be like a donkey. Do I mean this? Do I mean doing this? Eee-oh. Be like a donkey. Actually, this donkey and the owners, I think the owners of this donkey are really impressive as well. The owners ask a question. I think of the alternative to this. They didn't come out and ask, what are you doing with my donkey? They would have woken up one morning, they would have looked outside at the stables or where the donkey was tied up, and they would have gone, oh, he's gone. And they would never have known what happened. But they chose to go and ask the disciples, what are you doing? What a good thing to ask God. What are you doing, God? What are you doing around me that I can notice that's going to bring you glory? They ask, what are you doing? And they get to hear that their donkey is going to carry the Son of God on his back through. Now, you know, we can see a lot of pet Instagrams these days. I've got a few friends whose pets have got their own Instagram accounts. This donkey, oh my goodness, I would have felt very proud if that was my donkey that now was going to be famous and even talked about thousands of years later in churches. So let's be people who are asking questions about what God's doing and where we can see it. And be like a donkey. They're smart, they're dependable, they're really hardworking. And you know what? They're not linked with wars and fighting and power and majesty and strength. But they're known with growth for growing food, for times of flourishing. If you were a kingdom with lots of donkeys, it showed you were working really hard for the good of your people. And finally, we need to shout really loud about this. Because the Pharisees were really cross when people were shouting out. People were shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of God. Blessed is this king. Peace on earth to everybody. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, shut them up. Do you know what he said? He said, if they don't shout out about this, the stones will cry out. That's a weird thought, isn't it? If we don't celebrate and share and wave our palms and lay down our cloaks and be hardworking for the gospel, the stones will cry out. The natural world that God has created will cry out to say how good God is. So let's be people that are joining in, that are waving our palms, and that are really looking towards that gospel. Amazing. Oh, going the wrong way. Oh. Fab. So let's wave our palms, lay down your cloaks, be like a donkey. Can we all say this together? Wave your palms, lay down your cloaks, be like a donkey. Oh, I liked the ears then. That was very good. Be like a donkey. Thank you so much, everybody.